The first option involves maintaining the status quo, saying that the current 20 DMA will be kept and maintained as they are. The second option involves reviewing all DMAs to declare only national parks and areas of national and international significance, FDMAs, with the rest incorporated into municipalities. And the third option involves withdrawing all declarations and including the DMAs into adjacent local municipalities. And they would then form part of the wards that one would have in the local municipalities. Now, the board's preference is option three, and we have stated that upfront. In view of a range of legal and practical problems or reasons, which I will talk about in the next few slides, just to show why we at the board prefer the third option. The first problem that I will talk about is the fact that legislation on DMA is unclear and confusing. Firstly, there is no reference of DMA in the Constitution, as I said earlier. That inclusion in the DCs, in the District Council areas, are provided for in the Structures Act, and it just gives an impression that it was done as some kind of an afterthought. Not really belonging to the Constitution as such. Also, while it is conducive to establish local municipalities in DMA, it is not conducive to establish DMA in DMA and local municipalities in DMA areas. Their inclusion, they have to be done in terms of Section 24 criteria. And this becomes a bit of a contradiction, because we are saying that you cannot establish local municipality in a DMA area. On the other hand, if you include a DMA into local municipality, you need to comply with Section 24 criteria. A bit of a contradiction there. In terms of the Structures Act, the withdrawal of the DMA takes effect at the date of the next election. And this is clearly in contradiction, in conflict with Section 23 of the Demarcation Act, which says that the NDC can determine the date on which such a withdrawal takes effect. And there's also issues around the wording in the Structures Act. It's very ambiguous. It says that when a DMA is withdrawn, it must be included in another local municipality. Because as you know, currently they are not part of the local municipality, but part of the DC. It would have made sense to say that when withdrawn, it must be included into adjacent municipality, but it doesn't say that now. Those are some of the issues in terms of that reason. The second reason that I want to talk about is the fact that there are a number of national parks, World Heritage Sites, and Transfrontier Parks that were never declared as DMAs, and these here are listed on this slide across the country. I won't go through all of them, they're quite here on that slide. Another reason, Chair, why the board prefers the third option is that legally it is not possible to declare DMA across international borders. Yet we have areas such as transfrontier parks that stretch across international boundaries. The one example is the one that you see on the screen, the Great Limpopo Transfrontier Park, that straddles the South African, Mozambique, Zimbabwe boundary. Another example that we have is the II Sasfeld Transfrontier Park. It straddles the South African Namibian boundary. And as we indicate there, the Transfrontier Park portion, the portion of South African portion, was never declared as a DMA. Another example, Chairperson, is your Kalahari Transfrontier Park, which straddles the Botswana South Africa border. Never declared as DMA. Moving now to the fourth reason, where it is legally not possible to declare DNA in metropolitan areas. The typical example is the Table Mountain National Park, the World Heritage, the Robben Island World Heritage Site. Another example is there that we can give is the Hoek Kloof National Park in Swahili, which was never declared as a DNA. Fifthly, there is, in a number of instances, a mismatch between the boundaries of DNA and the national parks, the Transfrontier Parks and World Heritage Sites. And those two examples that you see there, in terms of the Bontebok and Agulhas and National Parks, are a very good example there. Another example, Chair, of the mismatch, your Rustenburg National Park, which was never declared, your Namakwa National Park and the Sangwakaru National Park, where we see that a portion of the DNA is bigger than the actual national park. Sixth reason is that DNA may not settle provincial boundaries. On the other hand, we have national parks that do straddle provincial boundaries. And the examples there would be your portion of the Tsikama National Park, the Western Cape, Eastern Cape issue there. That gives us a good example there. Another example would be your Kruger Park. We spoke about it earlier, where it had to be split into two portions, and yet it's one big park, but it belongs to two provinces. In another instance, the board has actually declared the DNA in area split, provincial boundary between the Western Cape and the Northern Cape. Another example there where the board declared the DNA split by a provincial boundary because. Further, Chair, we have a number of cases where DNA areas are split by boundaries of different municipalities, and those are clearly indicated on that slide, and within the different DCs. In the Northern Cape, that's where you see typically that kind of thing happening. Now, the eighth reason, Chair, is that boundaries of both municipalities and DMAs change from time to time. We have seen that since 1994, a total of 176,000 hectares was added to 10 national parks in the country. We had a Falbos National Park being proclaimed, and a new national park, Mokala, coming in, and planning being done to increase its size to 100,000 hectares. Vast changes in the sizes of the national parks across the country. There are also a number of requests for changes to municipal and DMA boundaries that are still pending. Reason number nine, Chairperson, is that the criteria that guide the determination of DMA boundaries are quite different from those that motivate the declaration of areas as national parks. And this means that their boundaries will always differ. On the one hand, if the primary criterion with respect to the declaration of a DMA, as I said earlier, with respect to an area where it's not feasible to establish a local municipality. On the other hand, you have your national park conservation area where the primary reason is to establish and protect a particular area for conservation reasons. And that is why we have the two Kruger DNA is being bigger, actually, than the park itself, because the DNA includes the parks that are adjacent and game and nature reserves, which form part of the DNA. Reason number 10, Chairperson, is that there is confusion around the performance of powers and functions there. The provision of the Frontier Act is that the business manufacturer has all the powers and functions in the DNA. We have said that before. And this actually defeats the purpose of the division of powers and functions between district and local municipalities. And then the question then comes up, why then a two-tier system if we were to just do that? Most of these DCs claim that they perform the functions. And we said that on the ground, we know they don't. It's actually, their involvement is actually very minimal. We have a huge situation on the ground where some districts say they perform functions. We've seen, you know, capacity assessment issues. They don't have staff, or otherwise they may have staff budget and infrastructure, and they don't perform the functions. And there are issues also around the local, non-local government services in DNA that are not being addressed. Reason number 11, share revolves around your population issues versus your equitable share and the need allocations, which, as we say, are quite insignificant compared to national numbers. And the numbers we give in that slide. In the 20 DNA that we have, there are 82,000 people and 36,900 voters. This is against an estimated national population of 48 million, a national voter roll of approximately 20 million. The equitable share for the 20 DNAs in 2007, and these are figures that we got from National Treasury, is 74.5 million. The need, and this is against a national allocation of 20 billion, okay. The need for the 20 DNAs, 32.4 million versus a national allocation of 7.5 billion. This here is a table from National Treasury, which gives the details of what I've just been talking about in terms of the population and the needs and so on. And you can see that 74.5 million at the bottom under the equitable share and the 32.4 million. I won't go through the table itself, but it provides a very nice detail breakdown of that. Reason 12. Chair, is that not many local municipalities will be affected, as that slide indicates. In the Northwest, there will definitely be nothing, with about 5 districts and 10 districts and locals in the Western Cape and so on and so on. But that number can change due to input by stakeholders. But basically, there are not many local municipalities that will be affected. Number 13 is that we have an electoral system that is unnecessarily complicated as a result of the DNA system, where a special system for DNAs, there will be two-tiered votes for the DNA, the people that the councillors then sit on the district council representing the DNAs. It can become a lot easier than that if we got rid of the DNA, and actually people in the DNA can vote in a ward like other voters. Number 14, Chair, is that the voters in DNAs are minimal, and I've just made that point. They can easily exercise their rights in local municipalities as part of the ward. And only 7 of the 20 DNAs have more than the minimum numbers. Quite often, most of them have very few voters participating there. And if you want to have councillors sitting on the council, the district council, representing their views, the picture is also quite huge. In 3 DNAs, for example, we have less than 100 voters. And they range from the other 3 DNAs where we have more than 3,000 voters. Quite a range of numbers in the para DNAs. And it only makes sense for them to be allowed to exercise their rights to vote in local municipalities. That's an indication of those numbers that I'm talking about. the number of registered voters in the DMA, 2,119, sitting, and we have a councillor in the precarious municipality representing those voters. On the other hand, in Kisani, 35 voters, also a PR councillor sitting for them. And you look at the funds, the differences. In Umkhanya Kude, 5,937, the councillor must deal with those voters representing in the district council. Five differences which just don't make sense. And there's some more of those figures. 3,200 in Kalahari versus 83, for example, in the Overberg. Vast differences. And reason 15, Chair, confirms what we've just been looking at, the voter ratio, a real concern. Voter weight per councillor differs widely, and that's really confirmed by the tables that I've just been showing you just now, and we saw some of those examples. Kruger Park is even two councillors. You then want, why can the DMA voters not vote for the ward candidate then, if we're going to have those kind of issues? One more reason why we believe that they must vote. Let me now spend some time going through these slides on our proposals, Chair. The first proposal is in DC 1, and in the Western Cape, where we propose that we include the upper northern portion of DMA 1. Of DMA 1, west of the Ensert National Road and the portion of the Ensert into Masikama, to include the eastern portion of the DMA number 1 into Cederberg, and the lower southern portion of DMA 1 that is west of the R27 main road into Saldanha. Those arrows give a clear indication, just in terms of what we propose there. Second proposal, also in the Western Cape, says that include the northern upper portion of DMA 2 north of the Virgin River town into Wittenberg, local municipality. The northern portion north of the N1 National Road into Greater Valley, and the lower portion into Greater River Wineland. Local municipality. DC3, our proposal there is to include the southern portion of DMA 3 into Solendam, the southwest of the R324, and the southern portion east of the R313 into Cape Agulhas. The arrows are also quite clear there. The fourth proposal, Chairperson, says that include the eastern portion of DMA 4 east of the R339 into Bito, the middle southern portion into Meissner, and the this portion then goes into George. Then we have that portion at the top going into Oostgoren, it's west of the N9. DC5, the proposal there is that the inclusion of the DMA must go into Beaufort West, and that would be both portions that you see on the screen there. We now move to the Northern Cape, where our proposal is that the portion of DMA 6 must go into Kaima. This portion will go into the Karoo Groveland, and that portion then will go into Hansa, just north of the Kakwa River. Yeah. In terms of DC8, the idea is to include that upper portion of that up southwest of the N10 into Kai Harim. And the northeastern portion and the portion of the west of the Arc 360 into Karahai Municipality, the portion south of the N12 into Pantabani, and the remaining southern portion into they call it Kai Harim and Kai Municipality, local municipality. Difficult names there. In terms of DC9, we say the whole DMA will go into the Kato municipality, including the Northern Cape. And in terms of DC45, we say that include the western portion of DMA 45 into Hamahara, west of the axis 360, and the remaining portion east of the axis 360 into Mashawe. In the Eastern Cape now, our proposal there is to include the western portion of the eastern portion of the DNA into Sunday's River Valley and the southwestern portion of the lower southern portion into Camden Bua. The northwestern portion into Blue Crane and the lower southern portion into Kogama municipality. The arrows once again are there here. In DC 13, they include the western portion into Inubaya Temba and the eastern portion into Solwana. In the Free State now, we say let the DMA 19 go into Malibuya Kofun local municipality. In KZN, we say include the DMA into Mbofana. And in DC 23, we say include the western portion and the southern portion into Okashamba, and the remaining portion, lower southern and southwestern portions, into Mbabazane. Still in KZN, inclusion of those portions, and the southern portion east of R22 into Umhlaba Oyalingana, the western portion west of R22 into Joseni, the eastern portion east of R22 into the Big Five Falls, then the western portion west of N2 into Hadisa. And then include the eastern portion east of the entry into Mtubatuba. So quite a split there. DC 43, the proposal is included into Pasani local municipality, the whole DNA. In Mpumalanga now, we're saying that the northern portion of that DNA would go into and the southern portion would go into Bondela. That's a Kruger Park. DC 33, basically two municipalities there, Bapala Borwa and Greater Kiani, and they will share the DNA. In Gauteng, we say that the DMA number 48 must go into Mahale City. It will be Ward 23. Current Ward 23 of Mohale City. Those are the proposals that we have in the document. Now, these then are the time frames that we will have to go through to finalize before the ward limitation for 2011 local election. That type here. What is important to note there is that the board will decide on the future of DNA on the 6th of December. And then the process will follow where we'll publish administrative notices, all with the view to hand over the boundaries to the IEC to allow them to proceed and prepare for the 2009 elections. And also for us to then go on and prepare for the 2011 election. Those are the time frames that we have. I think it's important that you take note of them. Now, in terms of the way forward, and the chairperson will talk more about this. We have had workshops throughout the country
on this process on DNA.
When we held the workshop, most stakeholders were not ready to make final inputs during the workshop. But generally across the country, there is support for including DNA into local municipalities, basically option 3, and getting rid of all the DNA. There are a few cases where the status quo has been desired, where they've said that leave it as it is and don't. And there's also a number of alternative boundary changes that are recommended. I've already said that the board will decide on the 6th of December. There will be an objection period. December 2007, January 2008. We'll close the legal process in May and hand over to the IEC for them to prepare for the election. And then, of course, the new boundary will become effective on the day of the next local government election. Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. I think I'll hand over to the Chairperson of the board, too.
Thanks, Chair. Just a few things to close out the presentation. Let me just say that, as the Chair indicated, we have consulted Metal Department and all of the stakeholders, provinces, and parishes. We haven't found joy in some of these departments that we consulted. We haven't found joy in getting a response from the DNC. We have received a response, I must say, from National Department of the Department of Environmental Affairs and Tourism. I think the board say that they have sent to us confusing signals. Because in our meeting that we had in July, I think the 14th, with the National Park CEO and one of the representatives from the department, were agreed on certain things, and they presented to us a view that appeared to be a summary of emerging consensus from the department, which appeared to be contradictory to a view that we now have received from the department, DG. That's the one concern that we have. The Minister of Finance has written back to the board in support of the board's proposal to include the DMA into the local authority. This is a very exciting thing to receive that response. So the MECs, in varying degrees, have made their contribution to the officials in the various workshops that have been promised. I think one explicit view that came from the Free State Department, but the other departments were making their proposals as part of the collective consultation process in Bureau of Forest. The second point is that clearly there is some agreement across the country on the inclusion of DMAs. I think that's very clear. That DMAs are a problem. And my view is that the DMA is like the cross-border municipalities where a local government experiment that has failed. When we said the CBMs were an experiment at local government level, we are now convinced that the DMA is also one of the experiments that we undertook in 2000. And 2007 was saying it hasn't worked very well for us in the country and was challenging with this. And the board will be taking a decision on the 6th of the coming month of this month. One thing that I want to raise, which is possibly it sounds very funny. There are the performance of powers and functions by districts in DMA. The district is expected to perform all local government functions in DMA. All local government functions in DMA. And yet the district has split functions between itself and the locals that they share the jurisdiction with. Now if you're only prepared to perform functions, all functions in DMA, it means you must then provide capacity in general for the district to provide those services in a DMA. I mean, if you're talking about the eight functions that you think are supposed to perform, after having done an assessment of what is required of the needs of the DMA, you must then internally prepare and engineer yourself as a district to be ready to provide that service. In only a DMA, when you don't have those proper functions for the other local districts, that seems to be a contradiction, because your own local, where the adjusted competencies given by the MECs after our assessment has been done, who perform certain functions within their jurisdiction. Then we have a different entity, which becomes the responsibility of the district, taking all the municipal functions. That's one area which will be it's very funny how this works. The second thing is about the national park vis-à-vis municipalities on the power of the functions. Mm-hmm. We had a meeting about 3 years ago with the Department of Environmental Affairs and Tourism. on how they think the performance of functions in national parks must be managed, given that municipalities are wall to wall. Now you have wall to wall sector in the country. We have no area in the country that's not covered by a municipality, and therefore municipalities must perform those functions across the areas that have been designated as municipal functions. And then you have an entity that performs public functions within the jurisdiction of the municipality, which has no relationship whatsoever with the government or the overall functions of the other municipality, of the entire municipality. We suggested the department that some kind of agreement is necessary to operate between the two entities, the management committees that collect revenue, provide services in the national park, and the municipality, and some kind of agreement must be reached, and those agreements are not been reached. The NDA is the national park continue to run their own affairs independent of municipalities, as though they are islands in this total landscape called government, and those are the different concerns. So I think that this kind of confusion that we have now picked up over the past year suggests that we really must consider having to withdraw this DMA. Now you can imagine your DMA who have a number of registered voters ranging from 3,000 to 5,000. That's a sizable number of registered voters. What we manage by districts, who are in some instances equivalent to some of the wards that are managed by local authorities. So as I think in summary, we have come to that observation, and based on the submission of the receiver calls across the country, we'll be making a final decision on this.
Thank you very much. Welcome. And that is one of the things I'm getting to the wrong doors of citizenmen behind the presentation. Welcome. And the Salga team is complete. I believe so. Lance has been teaching me all this. Let's get comments from members. Any comments on the presentation?
No, thank you, Chairperson. I think the starting point should be really that thank you for having organized this presentation, because and so this is one area, even amongst us politicians who has never understood it, except those who are directly maybe linked to those. And I want to cite an example. I'll always make reference to our oversight role we played in 2003. I was part of the delegation that went to Eastern Cape, Kakadu. I'll always mention that because I still recall when Kakadu raised the issue, although it was like political, that Nelson Mandela made for, took their best and then they left. This is how they put it, that they left them with the responsibility to look after the DNA as Kakadu and without resources. I just can't forget that. I think the presentation, firstly, Jefferson, although it would need maybe another run through it, maybe with the relevant municipalities that are affected in one meeting, like workshop, like. The reason is the issue of powers and functions, as well as the reasons behind some comments. The issue of the one that the chair has closed on it in terms of other like in if you go through Northwest closest to where these are, you realize that there are those people, owners from the old apartheid era who owned businesses. And I think this is the same challenge you will always face, as is the case with farming areas in terms of the politics against government. In terms of the area. So I think it's not an easy thing, the task that he has been given to. But I think maybe, Chairperson, after having participated in this, we'll have to get the department, maybe the very DG and the minister, directly to engage, so that we can engage them with the facts line by line as presented here. wouldn't like to have a situation that's going to confuse us. And I'm sure it's also good that Saga is there, that both politically and administratively, as well as in terms of how it, I think a lot has been said, especially in just maybe one follow up as we continue. But on all the areas that have been covered, both constitutionally, I think I would require another like input, so that we are then able maybe as a collective to interrogate clause by clause as to exactly where does it take us.
Can you just tell us on the those who prefer the status quo to remain, in other words, the district area, why is that, and how many are they?
When was the November 1st? All the policies, including South Africa, decided that it would be a little upgrade, but the inclusion in North Lenin is just the technique and the inclusion of those areas which was local policy supported. Tianda was part of it. After the meeting, Tianda went out. Now, with the city business operation of Tianda, he's speaking in public to suggest that they would prefer the Tianda court. For the day. And the advice for it was went for the business of meeting is not for after the meeting. Because after the afternoon we reached that meeting, we will encourage them to continue to reach them and back to the board. The younger went out of the way and had a different meeting in the country. They said he should have called them.
Yeah, you did it before that.
Not a further, there is no strong argument by the district in terms of the piano for them to hear the piano.
My second question is, which ones are contested? Okay, I'll give you this second hand information. I know there's a contest between Malukia Pofum and Shabi about the district on the area. So is there any other such disputed where should the DMA go to and so
on? We have some. I think you see the record that there's a great support for the establishment of the Golden Village State DMA and the inclusion in the database, which is 1591. That's not Malika Pop. That's sort of the rest of the DMA. So there's a lot of progress for the database. We also received there was conversation in another case regarding Moscow and May. So, the auto mining is that came in. The mining company that has made a strong commitment about preparing a development review in the way it succeeds with the support of the MDB into the attack. Now we advise them if they have anything with the district and the local political authority to discuss. So they don't seem to have been consulted and they seem to be in disagreement that the mining comes out of the municipal government to which they need to fight. Why they do consult them, I don't know. Even though they set up the mayor and the municipal. We have received their submission. The mining command, but they do not take into account when making cases. But the problem is that I think we will have to wait and see what comes our way. I think the other areas that I must say, there is the suggestion of the board not to consider a holistic or general inclusion of the DNA into one instance. Some proposals are suggested that split the DNA. You must actually consider the capacity of the receiving authority when actually it's established or withdrawing a DMA. Don't take an adjacent DMA into a municipality in hotel. Realize that there will be capacity constraints that the municipality might face in managing the entity to receive the amalgamated. So, the second thing that has been raised by another state council is the issue of the municipality. They have said they've asked a question on the consequences of this process as far as ticket allocation goes. And I think they said that they've made their commitments in the first place several times, that the formula used, and it's outside of country, but I think the formula used for them in the case doesn't give their commitment, doesn't take account that they have no consistency to provide it.
It's like
Paris.
Same
country,
never changed.
So they probably made this point, and I'm aware of this point, I'm aware that another case is despite the fact that the population size, which is far smaller than Paris, but this is an infinity, or equivalent to Paris, so they made it for the recruitment allocation, that will take into account those kind of some programs. So that whatever we do as a board in the inclusion of the NDA is whatever municipality must consider this consequence is there on the city of Lundy. What I said that we can do is start to answer that in the support that the consensus of the CPNC, but for us to do it out of the way. But the program that is going to be an outcome of this, certainly will be made available to the rest of the for them to consider then the modalities in terms of how they advance the allocation. So they raise the brain. Yes, I think you asked a question about the area of the potential case. I think there's a concern with regard to the mail overhead. We will have the police document in July 2007. We will have available this to the Department of the local government, the local government, and other affairs, and all municipalities in the country, and allow them a space of about a month for information. I think the deadline then must have been the end of the month. We did not receive several facts.
Okay, the 8th of August from municipalities to respond.
To respond to the documents. The National Department of the Falga and all of them have the status of that on the status of the information. Now, when we evaluated the response of the fish by the end of August, we realized that not much has been done by the police to contact and to respond adequately to what we said to the police. We then decided to extend the deadline. We then offered to extend the deadline, I think, to about September. The local citizens of the forecast know, in addition to what we have done now, writing circular apologies, emailing them, making public the notice in the newspaper, let's have this kind of process. We're going to the government, we're going to the notice in the public address. Whose deadline then was the 20th of November. So we have been extending from the end of August, September, October, up to this year. Now, in between August and November, we then agreed to have closed a lot of that the board was organized. The first thing was the board of Hungary organized workshop with the assistance of the provincial department of government, it's very probably for them to arrange venue, to invite the policies, and where the weather was assessed, the rules indicate where we can, where we would, where the capacity to do the work on their behalf. In almost all of them, in all the provinces now, we have attended, we have completed their gathering workshop, they provided them, they invited the services, we have made the presentation to all the services. All of them, in Falga, Western Cape, which was the first one to come to the assembly, where they convened the provincial meeting with other leaders in the we actually made this presentation. So, well, we work in therefore in partnership with the provincial department of world government. We've invited all the staff in the local department and the department of the local affairs in the office. So they have participated in some of these in the project of the workshop. In some they have been. So the last in the in the last one we on the 15th of November, where it was approved by Stefan and the time, both and Stefan attended in that event. So one of them have been fairly well attended, well represented, which was not a good sign. we also we took the lead in terms of communication and then consolidating the information.
Yeah. Okay, there it goes. Which of the in which areas did the Department of Environment and Tourism not attend meetings, and which are the other departments that have not responded to your request for submission that will be affected by these boundary changes? You have a list of those.
I know that there are not affected in the report from all the Department of Environment.
DPLG?
Yes.
Yeah, they haven't responded.
We had a meeting, myself and the management.
Despite the deadline being today?
Despite the deadline being the
20th. The 20th. Yeah, yesterday, yeah.
I must also say that we had a meeting with officials in our old workroom to discuss with myself and the forces of the
election.
A property that will give us feedback on the 8th of August.
Yes.
Yeah. I then had a meeting with him. I arranged a matter with him on the 20th of August.
Mm.
He assured me that the response from the department is coming our way within the next few days of that meeting.
Yes.
That is not observed. We then had a meeting on the 22nd of October with the IEC and the department and the ministry of the we discussed that in that meeting. In that meeting, we were told again that we will be getting a response soon from the department.
Mm.
We have not seen that. A meeting was then convened by the technical team, management of the board, management of the IEC. This matter was once again discussed. They haven't fought a change from the department. So, from the time of the day, the extent of the response to make them aware of the problem. So, they haven't been aware. The Department of Law Affairs missed the first deadline, later on the DC sent us a letter, which was a bit commercial to the area of law, the CEO of the Law. The staff, I think that the local police, from police, from the provincial department, they were saying, thank you, the Department of Law, the Department of Law. I can tell the problem is the Department of Local Government, in particular, we're saying they don't have a view as a department. Their view is going to be part of the crisis in that form of the crisis. Further, nationally, has not. So, but we received a response from Logan Lee, and as well as Western State. So, I think also Western State are celebrating because they even arranged their own meeting, their own program that they're going to do. They don't even want to do it. It's not a thing. They consulted in front of them, two people that joined the conference of the affected, before we arrived to meet them. By the time we never came, all they did was present to us, which is what they had discussed, would have lost them. This is a very good point. I'm not sure if I'm going to but that's the extent of consultation and the gap that we process in the federal court. The reason why I went for the gathering of the lawsuit was to trigger the gap. We thought that by doing so, we trigger everybody's reaction and making them realize that there was a deadline set at the board of the federal court. Over and above the public notice, we never knew the deadline.
Any other question, members, that you have? All right. According to your...
The sixth, you were saying by the 6th of December in June, what is it?
Would be taking 8 decisions based on the submission of the decision. But it's been the contracting form,
yes.
So they still the objection schedule after the process for the
public. You publish your termination.
We take a decision on which option we in favor of the public termination to the most suitable one.
Yes.
And thereafter we publish the determination by the board.
Yes.
And then allow
the what is the date of publishing after which the date?
No, I don't know.
That one, can it be possible for the demarcation to avail a report, an assessment report on the affected municipalities in terms of capacity, so that as we go through, you know, they have a nice report on municipalities in terms of capacity, so that when begin to engage with you, we are then able to know. I'm reading into the objections or concerns people have raised. We'll then be in a position to say, for instance, does a given municipality have capacity, or the each of the municipality and the district share it? So it will be easy for us, for any ordinary people who can understand the exactly what is in that.
I keep hearing you referring to we must need an additional input, information, without reference to the timeline for decision making. Because I think that's what we must pay attention to. Your proposals are good only if they will allow the process to happen. We may have to take preliminary decisions about this matter. With whatever comments we may want to make to add to those things, how they happen. Because otherwise, we will be having briefing discussions on the one hand, decisions will be made on the other.
I'm not raising it as a condition, but I'm just saying for empowerment as a committee. Because I've always relied since 1999 on that report in getting to understand how many
Okay. No, if
that is
the case, then there's no problem.
Thanks, Chair. I thought I should just make a comment, but it's not related to power dysfunctions or the getting rid of different municipalities. Our comment is really that Fargo will also take it to consult with our membership around the issues. As and when we receive the documents, we immediately send that out and attempt to consult as well, and then get some comments from municipalities per province. It is interesting that the same experience the MDB had, particularly around people not being ready to give a comment, and largely delaying our own input as well. While perhaps internally we've had a discussion, there is an agreement around a proposal, which is essentially to support the proposals made by the MDB. However, within SAGA, we have our own internal processes. We might have agreed, but we needed political sanctioning of that position. We attempted to get hold of the MDB yesterday to at least indicate our position, which is supporting them. We will, however, get something formal. But I thought it's important to indicate that we have a position in SAGA. We just need political sanctioning of that position, but it will be communicated within this week, so it's not as far as it's hard on the matter. However, we might have to raise this point now, is that our concern will be around how do you then, where you decide to subdivide a DMA into four different, for instance, in the Edenvale area, into four different local municipalities. How do you do that without creating problems? All municipalities fighting now for, no, this should be within my area, this should be in your area. Maybe that will be the only challenge, and perhaps our proposal would be that, seeing that the attempt is to have this coming into effect with the 2011 elections, it will allow us an opportunity to have some transitional arrangements to ensure that by the time we get to implement fully, everyone is on board and has a sense of where we're going. And immediately after the elections, we could start providing those services and not wait another year or 2 years and end up with what we currently have around the cross-border municipality. So maybe the time will allow us to properly put transition arrangements in place to be able to respond as and when needed. Thank you.
I'm sure the committee would express generally, if I may dare speak on behalf of the committee, the concern you express about splitting the DMA in a way that might suggest in court you split communities as well. It does seem all cherry-picking stuff and so on. So it has those complications that about which we would be concerned. And so, yeah, if that was to be done, it would really have to be a very strong, persuasive argument. Really workable. Otherwise, it's not the sort of route that we would find useful to follow. Yes, it is concerning that GPLD is guilty of not responding in time despite the efforts that you described. We will certainly want to understand what could have been the reason. And you have done lots of extensions. Now, one of the things that we have received as a committee from other stakeholders is the time frames that you give in for consultation. For structures that often have to take a huge, for whom it is a huge effort to consult their constituencies. Now, you are the one we are speaking to today. But the departments themselves also, of DPLG themselves, this issue has arisen. And I would like you, in your work, to reflect on it. The delay that SAGA is talking about within their own ranks could partly be to do with that, but it could also do with other reasons of internal stuff. But in other words, we are raising the case. Is there an argument to be made, as is being made anyway, that often the time frames you give are not adequate, given the nature of the issue that you seek consultation and the kind of structures that you are asking to consult, that there might well be a strong case to allow for slightly more time for consultations as a general approach to things, which would require really advanced time frames within which to do things and so on. I don't know. We would like to hear your comment on that particular issue.
Can I add that one?
Kandam Sok. Both of you are anyway. I'm sorry, guys. Honorable Son.
Chairperson, thank you very much. I was listening with interest, and I was waiting for Salka to throw a bridge into this. I would also want the demarcation board to indicate whether the proposed approach would not reverse the gains of racial integration that we have made so far in terms of these demarcations, or whether it would assist us in that regard. I'm trying to look at some aspects and issues that would say exactly. How are we going to disrupt that integration of the fiber of the society that we want to see? That is one. Two, I would want to be schooled on this one. I'm not very sure of what I'm going to ask, but I'm sure they
look, you are new in this community, so you can say anything. It comes from him anyway.
But I'm not new in issues. That's the thing. I might be new in the committee.
I'm just saying that it's okay. Don't apologize.
Don't abuse the chair. I've had a situation in Cape Town, for an example, where the mayor was changing boundaries like changing dishes, like it is. I mean, how acceptable in you is that, or is that legal? How legal is it? You see, because all the boundaries that were there before, she came in, she changed it to suit her own political environment. Was that correct? Thank you.
No, just my visitor person from the last point, I will link it in terms of time frame. Is it not possible me for you, one is aware that there is a legislative or imperative in terms of preparation for the next election, that you then work backwards, so that you are then able to say, we only have this time to do this. Because there are those things you can't postpone that go into the electoral process from your mandate. We should then, whatever, I was trying to link it to the question the Secretary raised. People might assume that, no, the demarcation is flexible. But I think you do have time constraints, and then that they be very clear, so that when you send out your notice in terms of time frames, you say you only have this, so that then also Salga would assist in terms of ensuring that beyond this date nothing can be done.
Thank you. Allow me to raise other issues as well as part of commenting. Let me just say that in response to the legislative first comment on the capacity report, one of the issues that the board will be discussing and finalizing on the 6th of September is going to be the assessment of capacity of municipalities report. You're aware that we were engaged in this capacity review process from July up until this month. Those reports are already. They'll make available to all MSCs, all of the stakeholders as well, their national portfolio committees. So we'll make available those, and they'll be useful in advising and helping the MSCs in the assessment process that is going to follow. So those reports will be made available. We should give the state of capacity of every municipality in the country in December this year. So that report is going to be made available. The second thing that I want to raise is that we have also made, over and above the previous letter of the Lord to PPLC, we have made, as part of our submission to the White Cell process, a comment on this matter, on the PMA, where we say why the statute book will not this year delete the provision of the DMA, but in terms of withdrawal and or declaration or inclusion of those in the local authorities, the board will take a decision, but the statute book still contains. So we made a submission to say that as part of the wide process, the Statute Act that is going to be also that's being reviewed, we pay attention to this, so make this submission to DPRG for them to consider in the production of the final version of the white paper on governance, such that we don't have DMAs anymore as a system as provided by the Statute Act. The third point is that we are very mindful of the concerns raised about the splitting of DMAs, and this is going to affect mostly Northern Cape. There will be other problems affected, but the province which will greatly be affected is going to be the Northern Cape province, because it has the biggest DMA and the biggest concerns around the size comes from that province. So the issue about how therefore we split, in such a way that communities do not feel that they've been broken down into pieces, certainly will take that into account. You'll note that the population size in this DMA is a range from about 85, the smallest thing, 85 registered voters to about 5,000 12. So the ratio, I think, we'll take this into account. The DMAs are a different ballgame altogether. They're not as easy as dealing with municipalities. settlement patterns that are easily identifiable. There we have a sparsely populated area. So a bit of sensitivity is very important in dealing with those communities such that they still feel part of the local government units that are going to be absorbed, that are going to be absorbing them. Also, there's an issue about the Cape Town. The Cape Town, I want to remember, found the problem was the sub-cancellation. You know, the mayor of Cape Town undertook a process after the council of the mayor of Cape Town, the council of Cape Town undertook a process to review the sub-council or to redraw boundaries of the sub-council. We met as a board, discovered that they haven't consulted the MPP as they ought to have. They did consult, wrote the board, but there has been a lot of communication between us and the city of Cape Town. So firstly, while they made an effort to consult and we made our views known, they disregarded the MPP views. That was the first take on it. They put aside the MPP views and they published again their proposals for the redrawing of the sub-councils. They published again on the regional part of the sub-council. There was an intervention by the MEC in the Western Cape at some point. They discussed that with that matter. There was some kind of political decision about increasing the number of sub-councils to about 24-25% of everywhere to accommodate some of these interests that were coming in as part of negotiation. That then it fell out of our scope immediately. They put aside a lot of concerns were raised about the process, about the legislation, about the factors to be considered. They then had some kind of political discussions which cost to bypass everything else that was made up in it. What happened thereafter, I'm not able to teach it now. The concern raised was that the legislation simply says they may contact the MDB in redrawing boundaries of sub-councils, but there is no legal recourse that the board has if they do not contact the MDB. If they consult and do not take into account the views expressed by the MPP in the case of the general sub-council. So they may as well consult and receive the document and put in a just bid and proceed. They shall satisfy that kind of requirement as in the legislation, even if the contents themselves have something different from what they would be doing thereafter. That's a legal guess. So we battle with this kind of thing. How then do we deal with the city of Cape Town move to resolve the sub-council bypassing and disregarding altogether the factors of consideration in the demarcation of boundaries. But we then have this kind of legal process. The time frame with regard to the boundaries are well presented. I think it's actually well presented with the time frames here. I must say that we have set all our promises that we're not flexible with time frames, unfortunately. We've done so many extensions and chapters of consultation from July up until November. So there's no way that other than the objection to it, there's no way that we can actually extend any beyond faith in which we are now. Some of the mentalities that ask us to extend, we have said, you know, we can't. We can't give you 6 months. Now, interesting, this morning, we were discussing with the managers here about the time frame problem. And it has brought to my attention that, remember, say that after all, you know, communities are always very slow in responding to a published notice for comment. But they're quick to respond when it's objection time. When the board determines the boundary and calls the objection, it is as though everybody has now, you know, been brought to the point. You know, everybody has now arisen from somewhere where they were before.
Because you are finalizing
things. Exactly. They feel the heat. So when you publish a notice and ask for comment, they do kind of like a fair approach. But immediately the board, like we do now, I can tell you that between December and the end of January, the kind of response that we will be receiving will be multiplied these that we have received up until now. Because the board has been saying, the board met, determine the boundaries, these are the issues. Your last event. It is during that stage when many communities come again back and ask for extensions, and some of them even say, we didn't even see the first notice. So, our experience over the past 8 years is it told us that the objection period is the one that actually triggers most of the stakeholders into action. Some of them seem to think that when you come, the same goes by paper, you know, I'm telling you, with a piece of legislation. You do the same thing, you publish your green paper with the same problem as a few years ago. Publish a green paper on government, people take it as one of those discussion sessions. But immediately, you publish a final version, you gazette a white paper for comment. It is as though people did not even see or didn't even hear or even know that there is a process underway to begin to look at legislation. So I must say that certainly the concept of the government frame, but there is this kind of tendency on the part of stakeholders, communities, to want to wait until the last day, and until they know exactly what the board thinks. Immediately they know what the board thinks, they start thinking that it is now time for them to act. And it's a very interesting thing. Let me just add something about the time frame again. We had a meeting with the IEC and the Energy Department. I'm not sure if it's relevant at this point, but I think it does overlap with this kind of discussion on time frame. In our meeting with the minister, we said, your time frame is on the white paper, which suggests that by the end of this year, there must be a white paper draft for the provinces. And by the end of 2018, I think that the last day, which is December 2018, for the both provinces and all that white paper, must be finalized. We said, the time frame is a problematic. For the disregard the fact that the MTB will not be entertaining any other boundary change beyond May 2018. That's our time frame. In terms of our alternative arrangement with IEC, is that IEC must receive finalized outer boundaries of every municipality in the country by May 2018. And beyond that, the board is not discussing any boundaries. Now, they did not seem to be aware that there was kind of time frame. It's only when the board is to attend that they realize that their time frame to present to cabinet a draft white paper in June next year is far too late. If it happens that way, it means the elections won't be held in 2009. We'll have to change the election in 2011. So there's a discussion that's going on about that date as well, about whether this process will impact negatively or positively on the candidate date for the next election. So the way things are going with the white paper process, if the outcome of this process is going to be leading us to effect those changes during the next election, the time frame we had a very limited, we don't have enough time to do that. So something is being done to begin to give those methods. So it frightens us. But as far as the MTB time frames and the IEC for now are concerned, we have these three time frames that have said, hoping that the communities will respect them. We make them available at all times when we communicate with our stakeholders. As part of the communication, we always attach a page that tabulates the dates, the month, kind of thing. But for some reason, people will read the time frames and they possibly think that it's one of those meetings and consultations that you can juggle as well. We certainly are going to take into account the issue raised, which is a very transformation, very important transformation issue around racial integration and racial sensitivity. The board at no case can disregard that aspect when we withdraw the board and include those DMAs. But the population is very small, right, in Southeast India. It's only quite a few that range between 2,000 and 5,000 that would have to be very careful of this matter. Thank you.
Okay.
And I think that when you say then, we have to endorse, like today, our P16 24 program. So
do you want to do that?
No, I'm trying to read in terms of saying
that. I was suggesting that having heard earlier presentation on this issue, this being the second comprehensive briefing, we've raised certain concerns about certain issues. But generally, is there any serious objection to some, or rather, there are three options. Which one do you prefer of those that are presented? The options are the status quo, the current 20 DMAs in Zimbabwe. The second one is review all to declare national parks and areas of national and international significance. The third one is withdraw all declaration and include DMAs in adjacent local municipalities. This is the third option. And the board says, from its own look, it prefers the third option. So what do you say, having heard what their justification for that? Just that.
No. Having participated, I think, at the beginning, I think we already engaged within the third option, which also was the point that Congress also has raised, that in that process, in that in principle, we have to look for those things that might have benefited us so that they are not overturned, which I think will fall within the consultation process, that in principle has also this has to linked up to the white paper process. I think it has relevance. There's no other one, because if you say the status quo, then means they've been wasting time, and I don't think that's what it is.
Okay, thanks.
The implementation must be mindful of the impact on those decisions on the broader national agenda, including effective consultation with stakeholders. The efforts that have been already been taken are useful, so that we also urge stakeholders generally to take seriously the time frame that we need to attend. The national agenda that I refer to include the already known end of term, and therefore elections will take place in the future, so we can expect their votes to be disrupted. But there are other demarcation imperatives that we have seen as a result of this foundation. Okay, so if that's our agreement, that's okay. Thank you very much for the input. Obviously, we will continue to interact with yourself and the department that we were meant to be making submissions, we have not done so. We certainly raise our concerns about their not having these policies and for themselves as well. That your voice needs to be heard.